It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @FaderoutePodcast, or drop us a line on X @FaderoutDNZ, and you could be next. Part two of our interview with SBR Net's Neil Schwartz starts right now. If you missed part one, you know what to do. Check out last week's episode of The Fade Route. Yeah, we're here with Neil Schwartz of SBR Net and My First Job in Sports podcast. And we touched on how you help academic institutions. So let's shift over to the corporate side and how corporate clients use your data. So is it more for strategic planning, competitor analysis, audience targeting, or is it, you know, a mixture of everything, or just something else completely different?
It's actually the three things that you said for the most part. It's identifying target markets. It's identifying target audiences. It's understanding media. You know, one of the big things, Z, right now is that we are in this like completely new world of media. I mean, every day, you know, things are springing up and ideas. And, you know, I talk a lot about streaming. You know, there are so many streaming networks now. The other night, I was like yelled. I don't know why I yelled at my wife. She had nothing to do with this. But I was like, where the hell is the baseball game? I wanted to watch baseball. But I didn't know where to look. You know, I'm an older boomer. I went to my television. I hit the guide button. I started scrolling down. Couldn't find the friggin' baseball game. Where was it? It was on ESPN, the app. You know, or ESPN. Oh, right. You know, ESPN I'm like, Plus. What the hell?
Yeah,
but I do look. I think that we're living in a changed environment, Z. You know, different generations, different people want to consume sports in a different way. So I think what our data does is it helps identify those different ways. You know, whether it's streaming, even paying it to YouTube. Like you guys, do you guys watch clips and highlights on YouTube? I know I do.
I think, and I really do believe that that's gonna, for the most part, replace.
In some ways, you're right.
Especially with the NBA.
I consider YouTube a social media channel versus, let's say, a streaming channel. Or, 100%. You know, because why? Because, again, it gives people the opportunity to interact. I mean, look, I am not a TikTok guy by any stretch of the word. But, you know, again, it gives people an opportunity to interact over video, you know, whether it's, you know, the 6-minute highlights of last night's hockey game or whatever it might be. You know, there's a interaction, there's a give and take. But Z, that's what people using data for. Identifying the markets, identifying the habit, the changing habits and behaviors, identifying, you know, there's something that when I went to Syracuse and I took marketing and I was a marketing and a communications major. And I remember walking into a marketing class like my junior year and the professor, they did this thing called a SWOT analysis. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You know what? 30-something years later, I'm still using that. Seriously. I just did a presentation for a case study competition that I'm involved in, and I used a SWOT analysis as an example.
Absolutely.
So I think all the things you said, though, you know, commercial clients, you know, they want to better identify their target market. They want to understand how they're consuming sports. They want to understand how they're consuming media in general. They want to understand how their competition consumes media. They want to understand all of these things. And again, the easiest way to do it is with data. Thank God they are.
So with those changing needs, right, we're talking about the needs for data, the intersection of sports, data, tech, all of this stuff coming together. Yes. Like, how has that changed research? How is it, how it's done, and like methods of disseminating that information, and how's SBR Net adapting to those changes?
Let me say the adoption part has been a little bit difficult to deal with. I mean, you know, right now, you know, for a while we were operating at the speed of sound. Now we're operating at the speed of light. And it just makes everything that much more difficult because everybody wants answers now. You know, when I first started in research and somebody came to me and asked me a question, you know, a lot of times I had to go out and conduct primary research in order to be able to get the information that I needed. Guess what? They don't want to wait 6 weeks to get answers. They want to wait 6 minutes. And sometimes they don't even want to wait that.
Right.
But, you know, and that's really been the challenge, Z and Damian, for me and for my business. You know, how do I operate in this world that operates at the speed of light when I was struggling at the speed of sound, you know, and now, you know, I've got to operate 8 times faster. Not easy. No. And it's also, you know, I think it also puts a lot of pressure on both the, you know, people that are creating strategy, the people that are implementing strategy, and the people that most important are struggling with strategy. You know, what do I do? What do I do? You know, what are some of these teams doing to grow fans? You know, how does the second team in New York, you know, the second MLS team at New York FC, I think it is, you know, how do I compete against the Red Bulls? You know, better stadium, better, you know, better location, better streaming deal. I can go on and on and on. So I think, you know, but again, people want these answers and they want them at the speed of light. And that's challenging. And the other big challenge, quite frankly, is AI. AI is a big challenge. And look, I'm going to be honest. I use ChatGPT. Right now, one of my big challenges is how do I integrate more of ChatGPT or one of those AI type search services into my existing service?
Wow.
Because that's what the kids are using. That's what the students are using.
Yeah.
That's what companies are using. I even used it. You know, the other day, I needed an answer to something and I didn't know what, you know, started Googling it and doing all that. I said, what am I doing here? I went on ChatGPT and the answer popped up in like 5 seconds. And it was the answer I needed.
Crazy.
I'm like, damn, is this good? I hope this doesn't replace me. Yeah. You know?
I mean, that's kind of the risk, you know, the whole Skynet thing. Like, I think we're all kind of...
This is a Terminator.
That's a good Terminator reference, by the way.
Do what we can. I see it all the time with my students, too, because they're, you know, I have to remind them, I know how you write. I know how you speak. You're not using that word. I know you don't. Right. I know you're not using that word. So try it.
Anyway.
It's funny that you say that. I work with a lot of professors and you know, faculty and all that. And one of the things we talk about all the time is, you know, how often do you catch kids using, you know, ChatGPT and AI? He says, I will tell you, first of all, there are some apps out there that allow you to scan, you know, a document and be able, and literally can tell you right away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Based on word patterns. But she said the funniest thing was that two or three kids handed in like a project and basically it was like literally almost written the exact same way.
Wow.
They tried to change around a few words, you know, took out a few prepositions, you know, botched up the grammar, which was perfect, by the way, before they botched it up. But, you know, they can, you know, professors can tell right away that, you know, people are using ChatGPT or other of the chat, you know, the AI-based chat services.
Completely. And next gen AI, I've seen a couple of the next gen AIs actually will write in your speech pattern, which is very interesting. So, you know,
that's terrifying.
We have to build better mousetraps.
Yeah, that's scary stuff.
Yeah.
Again, you know, Damian used this, you know, the importance of data and telling a story. You know, and frankly, that was always my unique. You know, that's what I brought to the business. That's what I brought to the world. That's what I bring to sports marketing. And that's what I bring to, you know, data is the ability to take data, create insights, and then take those insights and tell a story. I hate to say it, if AI is going to be able to do that for me or for somebody else, guess what? I'm about to get put out of a job.
Yep.
Any of you guys want to buy a data business?
I left my wallet in my other pants. But we'll get you out of here on this one, Neil. Since we were talking about trends, right? We're talking about AI and influx of that.
Yeah.
What trends do you see shaping the future of sports business? And how is SBRNet positioning itself to stay ahead of that curve?
Well, I think number one is that the business is going to require, you know, more better trained people. I mean, who's replacing, you know, the people that are making decisions now? I mean, you know, and I think the people that are making decisions now, you know, there's going to be, you know, there's always a need for succession. Everybody needs a good succession plan. Hey, I need one. But I think that the succession plans will dictate that students in particular pay more attention to, you know, using AI, learning how to use data properly. Look, and it's not just about the kids coming from Harvard or Stanford or MIT. Guess what? They know how to do it. you know, or NYU or any of these schools. You know, but there's a lot of these mid-market schools and middle-tier schools where, you know, the kids don't necessarily have the same experiences that they get, you know, at an MIT or at NYU or even places like University of Florida, client of mine. It's really going to be incumbent that students now understand what will be required of them in order to succeed in the business of sports. And that's really, you know, one of the motives behind my podcast, My First Job in Sports. But it's also the motive behind my event called Get in the Game. I want to give back. And I don't know, you know, I can't speak for anybody else. But I know that the sports business has been very good to me. I have a good living. My family lives. I live a nice living. I have season tickets to the Panthers. I have a great set of golf clubs. You know, I live on a golf course. Literally, nice. My life has probably exceeded my dreams, or at least has kind of met my dreams. But I have the sports business to thank for that. And guess what? I'm going to pay it forward. And how do I pay it forward? I pay it forward with my first job in sports. We're in 40 episodes deep. What do? We bring on people who are on their first through fourth job in the sports business, and they can tell the students that are coming out of school now what they need to know, what courses they need to take, how they need to be operating in order for them to get a job in the business of sports. We took it one step further. And, you know, unfortunately, right now, politically, we're in a weird spot right now. But one of the things that I noticed over my 25 years in the sports business is that for a long time, I would sit around conference room tables. You wouldn't see a lot of female faces, a lot of women. Well, now you are. I mean, you're really seeing a lot of women. I would almost say 40% of the people that I deal with are, you know, I deal a lot of females. And that's fine. That's great. But you're still not seeing a lot of faces of color. And that bothers me. Because, you know, I'm all about that 360-degree perspective. And I hate to say it, if you don't have 30% of that covered, or you don't have 30 degrees of the 360 covered, you ain't seeing the whole picture. And, you know, and I said, look, you know what? I'm going to do my part. We created Get in the Game. It's focused on helping students of color get jobs and internships, specifically in the sports business, whether it's with brands, retail, teams, leagues, you name it, sports tourism. I can't tell you how many kids I talk to don't even know about sports tourism. It's a $30 billion a year business. And guess what? It needs a lot of people. Need a lot of people to support that business. It's a great way to start your sports career. And that's really what I'm all about. I'm about paying it forward. I'm about giving back. And I'm about doing what I think is right.
I think one of the other things people don't realize when it comes to sports is that a sport is like any other business, where in that sport, you need a doctor, you need marketing guys, you need finance guys, you need lawyers, you need field
sales
people,
guys, don't forget sales guys,
you need sales people, you need ticketing. Like, so I, you know, one
customer
of the things,
service. Yeah, customer service.
So I was like, one of the things that I remember when I was in college, and, you know, I wanted to taking a business class, but I was lucky enough to work for the Jets and work for the Islanders. And
you did,
for
wow,
a lot of
great.
Teams. Yeah, I worked for a lot of teams, but I think one of the best things I did was I got a degree in business, and then from there I was able to grow within the industry and meet people and make connections. And, you know, I think some people think, well, I want to work in sports. What do you want to do? Oh, I don't know, be a general manager.
Oh, I hear that story a lot.
Just doesn't happen like that. You know,
I hear that story.
I want to be a
lot.
Scout, or I want to be a head coach. It's like, well, hold on a second. You know, every team has a mail room.
Yes.
How about we start there? You know, every team has usually an equipment department. You know, these are just areas where when I was coming out, I didn't even know. I really didn't know. I was fortunate enough to start out in marketing and worked in a whole bunch of different departments. But I think getting that message out there, Neil, is really important. Letting people know. It's like, hey, man, like, you know, you could want to be in sports, but what do you want to do in there? Because you could really do anything, anything and everything.
You know, people think being in sports means you get to go to games all the time. I wish.
Yeah. And it also means being available, right?
It means being able to be available more than anybody else is.
Seven days a week, 50 hours, you know, crazy times of the day. And, you know, in the beginning, it's easier. And then the other thing is you have to figure out, is this really what I want to do? 6 months out of my life where I'm, you know, nonstop, don't stop, can't stop, won't stop, you know? So there's a lot of learning that goes involved. But you want to be able to also be in it long enough to figure out if this is what you want to do, or have it build up of enough experience where you could spin it into another career. You know, one of the things that I remember when I started was there was a guy, he said, you know, one of the things he used to do is he used to hire people that had experience as like waitresses or waiters. And I was like, why was that important? He's like, because they know how to be customer service driven. They know how to listen to people and what they need. And they also can work independently on something and bring success or bring positive attitude and positive feeling. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Every kid should spend a few months being a waiter or a waitress.
Right.
Every kid. Or a customer service rep.
Right.
But you know what?
And that was Mark
they
Riccio.
They all want to be the assistant the general manager of the
Major
Mets.
League Lacrosse. Yeah. But, so that was Mark Riccio, who's now the president of Major League Lacrosse.
Okay, well, you know.
That's what he used to say. And that's what he said. He used to, when I get interns, when I get first-time workers,
sure.
I want to see that they've worked at a catering hall or they've worked at a country club. Or
deal with kids. Deal with people. Yeah.
Deal with people. Yeah. People person.
You're right. Right on, man. I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. You're hired. Can you do math?
Yeah.
That's my department.
Skills. How about Excel? You good with Excel?
Excel, math, whatever it is, anything. You can do anything.
Guys, I've really appreciated the time tonight, whatever this is. You know, I it's been a great conversation. I thought we've had some really good, covered a lot of ground today.
We sure have. So,
I appreciate you having me on the podcast.
I hope you'll come back on.
Hey, I hope you'll have me.
Absolutely.
You know when you want to have me? I'm telling you when you want. You'll want to have me back like in March or April. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah,
that's when our new data comes out.
Boom.
And that's when I make a lot of my fun. I tell a lot of fun stories. I mean, I spent 3 months telling the whole the Dallas Cowboys are no longer America's team story. There was only so long I could tell that one. Because the Kansas City Chiefs are now America's team.
They are.
They are. And they've got the data to back it up. So
100%.
You know, and I talked a lot about women's sports. I'm writing an interesting article on focused on women's sports fandom. Not women's sports, mm-hmm. but women's sports fans. I predict in the next 5 years, it will be almost a 50-50 split in fandom between women and men. Right now, it's still dominated by men. You're looking at a 45-55 kind of split. But the women are becoming more and more sports fans. And
interesting. Huh.
I think it's a good thing.
And that's across the board. Thing. That's in attendance.
Yeah. Interesting. And that's where the brand, you know, brands have to learn how to talk to women differently.
Oh, 100%.
But they don't want to be talked to the same way, you know.
No, they don't. That's right.
Sports has a very uncomfortable relationship with women. That is for darn sure.
Yes, it does.
So Neil Schwartz, guys, president of the Sports Business Research Network, host of My First Job in Sports. Thanks for coming on, man. And if you want to be
part of me, don't forget to check us out on social media. We're on LinkedIn at SBRNet. We're on Instagram at SBRNetData. I'm on X and Twitter too. I just don't know what they are anymore. So let's just focus on LinkedIn and Instagram and leave it at that.
I hear you. X is a cesspool anyway. So don't stay away from the comments.
I don't know what it is. Stay out of the comments. I have no idea what it is.
But if
all right, guys, have a great. It was great having me. Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Of course, absolutely. And if you want to be on the In Route with us, if you want to be the newest member of the In Crowd, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast or drop us a line on X. And you could be next. Neil Schwartz, thank you very much for coming on. And we will definitely be in touch in March or April.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.